What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Impact Michigan podcast. I'm your host, Leanna Bodd, and I am really excited that you're either watching or listening to this show. This show is about the people making the growth and development of Michigan's economy happen. Entrepreneurs, investors, innovators, public figures, you name it. If they make stuff happen, they've been on or will be on this show. Before we get into things, I wanted to invite you to support this podcast through my Patreon account, which you can find at www.patreon, that's patreon.com/LeanneAbodd. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's essentially a way for creators to be supported by their most dedicated fans. And I would hope that's you. So if you're interested in more of this content and helping me make this thing sustainable, check it out. Here's a word from our sponsors. A special thank you to WeWork for providing the studio to record this podcast right here in downtown Detroit. Head to we.co/podcastdetroit to learn more about WeWork. This interview was recorded as part of Detroit Startup Week, which is a week-long celebration of entrepreneurship in the Detroit region. Check out the festivities at www.detroitstartupweek.com. All right, with that, let's get into the episode.
Welcome, Stella.
Thank you.
I'm really excited. I've heard a lot of great things. I've done a decent amount of research. So, pardon if I come off as like, he knows everything about me.
Oh, no, please. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I always like to start off my interviews just by allowing the listeners to get a sense of who my guest is, context for you, your story, etc. So for the listeners, who is Stella Safari?
Wow, big question. So I am a girl from the Congo, actually. Come from a little bit far away. I grew up in the D.C. area in Silver Spring, Maryland. I came to the U.S. when I was really young, when I was 8 years old. But I've always kind of been around a lot of different types of people and been really fortunate to just experience a lot of different cultures and things like that. So that's just always been a big part of my awareness and my worldview. I ended up going to Dartmouth for my undergrad, where I studied mathematics and women's studies. And then when I was graduating, I was thinking, okay, what do I do now? I can take the route of, you know, kind of the prescribed route that coming out of Dartmouth, which is, you know, let me go to the banking route or go to Wall Street or something like that. But it just didn't feel authentic to me and to the things that I cared about. And so I wanted to do something that made me feel like I was having an impact, wanted to be part of a community. I wanted to be part of that rich culture that I've always experienced, but also wanted to try something new, right? So I had grown up on the East Coast, and although that was great, it's just a little part of America. And I think for me, not being from here originally gives me an appreciation for the diversity that exists in this country, and how different various regions of this country are. So, you know, going to New Hampshire for school, that was like a total culture shock, a totally new experience. And then, so when I was finishing school, it was kind of a similar thing where I wanted to, you know, kind of experience something new. So as I was looking for opportunities, I came across Venture for America. So that just sounded very much aligned with my values and the type of experience that I wanted to get at the moment. And that's how I got connected to Detroit. Otherwise, it was not on my radar at all. So I got to Detroit through Venture for America. I actually started out my career working in venture capital, which I totally had no idea about either. So I was working with Invest Detroit, you know, kind of pretty early on with one of their funds, and working to source deals, like look for entrepreneurs and just find interesting stuff for us to invest in. And so I think through that work, I got really deeply rooted in this community, and I had to get out there and really figure out like what are people doing. And so, yeah, and I don't want to go on for too long just yet. So maybe I should just leave it there for now. But that's kind of my background. That's kind of the foundation of it. And then I currently run an accelerator program, a free accelerator for early stage companies through Generator. The accelerator is G-Beta. This is it's almost a year since we've been here now. So it's really exciting to see companies go through that and grow through that. So I'm just really passionate about entrepreneurship, about trying to make it accessible to different people, different communities. And I feel like I do that work here, so it makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, definitely. What originally interested you in Venture for America? So for folks that don't know, Venture for America is essentially a program, it's a nonprofit that places people all across the country to startups, right? And so you went into venture capital, and that's the startup world. Were you enticed by the fact that you could work at a startup, or were you always just interested in startup world, startup culture?
At the surface, I wanted to work for a startup, right? So it was kind of like thinking of the opposite of what I didn't want to do. So I knew I didn't want to go into corporate, like super kind of old school corporate America. I saw what it was doing to the souls of my friends who had gone into it. And like, I see them a couple years later and they just look miserable, although they look good because they're making money, right?
Right.
But I can just tell that they're not passionate about what they're doing. And that I said to myself, okay, I know I can do anything for like a year or two, right? And if I don't like the startup thing, I can always go back. I have a degree, like I can go back and find a job and like do the whole corporate thing, right? And so to me, the opposite of that was startups. Like I was really fortunate in college to get different experiences. I worked with an organization that was sort of a startup in itself. It was a bunch of designers from the West Coast who started this nonprofit that did work in Congo. So it's very, when I joined them, they were very much a startup. So I got to be around that culture. I was in college, but yet I was working with people who were like really experts in their industries. And so it just gave me a very different perspective of what work can be. And also made me realize that you can do things that have an impact and like that you actually care about, right? And so to me, all of that equated startup. And so I wanted to be at a startup, but I didn't know how. How do you find a job at a startup, especially 5 years ago? I think there's been some progress ever since, but certainly 5 years ago, it wasn't like I can just Google things and they'll, you know, and I'll be able to connect with someone. And recruiting, how it was done in college, just startups were not coming through that pipeline. And so I needed to access a network that could tap me into the startup world. And so VFA was really that. That's what it did for me. And now the beauty of it is that they exposed me to different types of, I guess, different roles within that startup ecosystem, because I knew about venture capital, but didn't really understand what role it played within the broader ecosystem. And so I think when I started to really learn about the different job opportunities and started to see some of those roles and more of that venture capital role, it just kind of appealed to me. I think I'm a very systems type of person and big picture thinker. And so that makes venture capital really appealing because it's kind of like looking at things from a broader perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And then so with VFA, because So that was 2013.
Right.
Was that the first? That wasn't the first.
Second class.
Second. Okay. Yeah. So I, at that point, what made you choose Detroit?
Oh, good question. So I went to visit so many different cities. And I remember actually coming to Detroit for the first time. They had to convince me to come to Detroit because in my mind, the images that I had, no offense, I'm so sorry. I know, now I know better.
Be real, be
and
real.
I'm quite the ambassador. But like, you know, in my mind, it, because that's all I was seeing on TV and like in the news, was just like really bad stuff. And so, and that's why I actually mentioned quite a bit that Detroit reminds me of the Congo, my own home country, because when I came here, I felt a different energy, right? There were just, I remember feeling like, oh my God, it's not a lot of people here. Like I was coming from the city and like, it just was significantly like visually different to me. But I also saw the beauty in the city. I just had such an appreciation for the architecture, for the homes, like everything. And so, and then I started meeting people and it was very evident early on that like, this is where I'll probably find my people, you know, like people who are building things, people who have this like same type of passion that I had about doing good work and doing work that has impact and like really using our energy and our resources to do something positive, especially for places that have been ignored or places that have not gotten those resources in a while. And so I thought, you know, I'll be a part of that. I don't know what it's gonna, what the results are gonna be, especially early on. Like, I really didn't know what was gonna happen, right? Like, I had no idea. And also, I think my perspective as a younger person, I just don't have that like continuity of history to know how things evolve over time. So it's amazing for me to watch what's happening in this city, even in my 5 years being here, because it's pretty amazing. I've lived in neighborhoods that, you know, totally look different now than they did a few years back. And so it's just, it has that energy and it feeds my soul quite a bit to see the progress being made. So
yeah, and I think it's really important to highlight the beginning of that story, even, you know, the misperceptions and misconceptions and what have you, because I think it's really important to notice that a lot of it, you mentioned it, like a lot of it's just media coverage.
Yeah.
And a lot of the media, I mean, that's how we got fake news.
Yes.
It's how we got the current administration. It's just, you know, like the way I look at media is, you know, like in media encompasses, you know, marketing and advertising, you know, entertainment, that industry, and general content creation. Like basically media is anything that captures attention. And that's such a superpower where, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You have to know what to do with that. And I feel like a lot of news outlets just really focus on like, we had someone in here earlier today, you know, like call it ruin porn.
Yeah.
Right. And that's
really
been a huge
is.
Thing about Detroit. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, oh, you know, the rise from the ashes. And in that interview, we mentioned like, I love how yesterday Marcus Lemonis, one of the keynotes for Detroit Startup Week, mentioned like, I hate that people say like Detroit's coming back because Detroit never left.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, that is one of the things that drew me to the city, because all throughout college, I spent a lot of time studying storytelling and how in the context of my own country, right, of Congo. And it's because it's very similar, where if you Google Congo and, you know, do some research on it, you'll mostly find stuff about the war, about just famine and all of these really, really devastating things. Yes, those are true. There are things happening that are really horrible. Yes. However, if you go to Congo, you will find people living. You'll find people going to school. You'll find people working. You'll find people just being, right? And so that's what I felt here as well. And I think that's why you know, what you're doing. And even something like Startup Week, like, it's really important to take ownership of your story and the narrative, right? Yeah. I think it's one thing for outsiders to keep telling these stories, and there are so many reasons why people paint things the way that they do. I think people love having these extreme cases that they can, like, compare themselves to, and so it's, you know, they need a place like Detroit, but at the same time, I think it's an injustice to not allow for some of these authentic stories to really get out, and get out in a way that is reflective of the reality of what's really going on. Again, I don't think that the solution is to now say everything about Detroit is great, it's perfect. Like, no, I think there are challenges to being here, but there are so many positive things to being here as well. And as long as we keep telling that balanced story, I think that will really resonate with people.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, like, speak your truth. You know, like, don't own anything that you're not, but also don't, like, handicap yourself and say, you know, like you said, like, don't just say nice things about Detroit, where it's like, oh yeah, we went to zero, right, bankrupt, and, like, now we're on the come up, and it's like,
that's just as dangerous, I think.
Yeah.
It is. But I do have to say, I'm very optimistic. I'm naturally a very hopeful person anyway, but which is probably why I moved here.
Yeah, right.
But I think that from, like, if we're just speaking factually, right? Like, I've seen things change in this city over the past 5 years, and that gives me a lot of hope, not just from, like, infrastructure and buildings changing and whatever being renovated, that's great also, absolutely, but I think people's attitudes also are changing, right? So especially in the startup world, right? So in the past, I noticed a lot of trying to replicate another place here.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating to me because I always saw that we were missing so much of what's already here and looking for things that, like, we're not going to find that here. Like, I mean, that's cool on the West Coast. That's cool, like, in the South, or that's cool wherever else. But, like, there are reasons why those places are the way they are, right? And it's almost like it's a result of all of the pieces that are there, all the institutions, all the individuals, all the startups, all the companies, corporations, all of that. So, you know, we have to look at our own equation and, you know, whatever inputs that we have, and look at a very specific, like, output that's very unique to Detroit. And I think right now, I feel like there's this shift towards embracing more of, like, our own inputs that are already here, instead of looking to almost replicate something else.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I like to just, like, own it up front. Like, we're not going to be the next Silicon Valley. We're not going to be, like, New York or, like, this.
We can't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's not even us. It doesn't even belong to, like, it shouldn't even be that way. We have things that they cannot replicate. And they have things that we cannot replicate,
yep.
Right? Like, a lot of people like to say, like, oh, let's make the Detroit the next, you know, Midwest tech hub. And that's cool to think that way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, like, Silicon Valley, that what, like, even though the boom has been, like, recently, that started with, you know, like, you look in history, the Traitorous Eight from, I think, I don't even remember the company, maybe IBM or something, but, like, 50 years ago,
yep.
You know what I mean? And so, I mean, semiconductors and, like, the whole reason it's called Silicon Valley, the silicon part of it comes from the materials in the semiconductors,
right.
You know? And so it's like, that's not us. Like,
yeah.
If you put silicon in front of another word, like, it's not gonna make it true,
no.
You know? It doesn't make sense that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there are some interesting industries here. There are interesting people with so much expertise, very deep, you know, industry expertise. And that's what I'm excited about, connecting those dots and like continuing to kind of meet people where they are and pull them into this energy and this kind of movement to move things forward for this city.
Yeah, totally. And so let's talk a little bit about G Beta and your work with there. And I know you actually just launched G Alpha.
Yeah.
And so, my friend Wyatt, so he told me.
Yeah.
So G Beta is part of Generator, which is an accelerator based in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And you can tell
us. So we're a nationally ranked accelerator. I'm a huge, huge fan of Generator, not just because, you know, they're my company, but I just think it's a group of really, really wonderful people, which is why I think our work resonates quite a bit with people now, and we're able to expand and get into the other things that we're doing. So in a nutshell, we've got kind of your typical equity-based accelerator. That's our main program that runs out of Wisconsin and Minneapolis right now. So we invest in companies that go through our program. Typically, a cohort is about 5 companies. So, you know, the goal there is to help them grow and scale. And as we were rolling out this program, we noticed that there's a need for more localized version of it, because Generator is a national program, and we pull pretty international now, actually. So we pull from companies all over the place, even internationally. So G Beta, however, is very much modeled after Generator, but it's a part-time program. It is free. It is more local. So, for example, I run G Beta in Michigan, in Detroit specifically. So all of my companies that go through the program are all have roots in Detroit somehow. Either they live here or near here. Basically, they can get here very easily. So far, I've run 2 G Beta programs here, cohorts. We've had about 12 companies that have gone through the program so far. And the goal of G Beta is to help companies raise at least $50,000 in funding or become competitive, you know, get accepted into a full-time equity-based accelerator. Doesn't have to be Generator, but it very much could be, right?
Yeah, and so wrapping up here, where can people find more info about Generator, G Beta, G Alpha, all of that? Anything else you want to promote?
Absolutely. And so G Alpha is, just quickly, it's our newest program. It's also free. We like to call it a venture creation workshop. So G Beta, if you think about it in order of like time commitment, intensity, all of that. So Generator, then G Beta and G Alpha. So G Alpha is really targeted more towards college students and just technologists and individuals who have a lot of things and skills but don't really have that idea yet. And so we basically source ideas from corporations and reverse pitch the teams. And if they want to develop a product or technology around kind of solving that challenge that we put in front of them, they can. So that's G Alpha. It's a 4-week program. Our first one we're doing in Michigan this year is here in Detroit. So I'm actually taking applications for that. So our program starts on the 7th of July, on the 6th of July, excuse me. And so applications, like, get them in ASAP, because I'm looking at those soon. And so it's a 4-week program, should be finished beginning of August or so. And then after that, we have another G Beta coming up in the fall. So really excited to get back out there and start recruiting for that. And I'm also always kind of recruiting for a Generator as well. So, you know, we kind of have things along the way for different levels. And so I'm always happy to answer questions. I hold office hours quite often around the community, and so it's pretty easy to connect with me. You can always find me. My name is Stella Safari, and it's pretty easy to find me. Or you can go on our website, on the Generator website, or gbetaaccelerator.com/Detroit.
Awesome. And so I've actually been asking this question for, I think, possibly all my guests today. So I'll keep it a recurring theme. So as Stella Safari, as a director of GBeta Detroit, as a community builder, a doer, an innovator, an entrepreneur, what is the impact you want to have on Detroit and even the Midwest and even the world?
Mm. Wow, that's a good one. So when I think about my impact, I often think about how others have impacted me, right? And the things that I've been able to do in my life, because if you look at the story of my life, the odds of me being here are very, very slim. So, and I don't take that very lightly. So I think that I've been given quite a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot of privileges that put me in places where my voice matters, and the things that I do matter. And so I try to use that to make it easier for other people. And so when you talk about impact or ask me about impact, for me, I think about, you know, is my job making it easier for someone else to make their dreams come true or to get to that level that they want to get to? So as long as I'm doing that and my work is aligned with that, I feel really good about myself and I can go to sleep at night. Generator totally allows me to do that, which I really appreciate. But just generally with the work that I do, even throughout the city, I'm aware of a lot of the structural racism and just challenges that have been put in place, especially for this city and the people here. And so Detroit has given me so much. And so if I can give anything back to the city in creating opportunity or making things more accessible, then I will feel really, really successful, even if that's just for a few people. You know, I think as long as you instill, kind of sow those seeds, and you never know how that's going to come to fruition. So,
Yeah.
I hope and that's a good answer.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's your answer. So with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.